At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's going on? What's going on? What do you got?
I'm getting hyped up, dude.
Hyping up?
I'm getting hyped up.
Is this for me or is this for them?
This is for the world to know. This is for everyone to share. This is for everyone to bask in, to love, and to cherish together.
This is our global message.
Our global message to the people of the world.
Take it easy.
Do drugs.
Oh.
Ride a horse bareback once in a while, please, Tucker.
Have you ever ridden a horse?
Yeah, I've ridden a horse.
I don't know if I've ever even touched a horse.
Yeah, I've ridden a horse.
Where?
We did a bareback horse riding tour on a beach somewhere.
That's the second time you've said bareback in like 90
Yeah, no,
seconds.
I've been riding them horses bareback, dude. You know how I am.
You love bareback.
I love bareback. You know, when somebody says that we're going to go bareback horse riding, my ears perk up like a dog.
You're like, bareback?
You know, I'm like, yeah.
You start howling? I start howling at the moon a little bit?
You're saying I'm going to be skin to skin with this horse right now?
It is. That does sound pretty good.
Yeah. No, it does. No. Yeah. No, I have, though. I'm pretty sure I have.
Wait, you're not even sure?
I...
All that, well, you're not even sure?
I did a horse camp.
When? I've never heard of this.
Well, yeah, because I think I blocked it out of my memory because you know, maybe day two into that horse camp, I was like, I'm going to kill myself.
So you went to bareback horse camp.
No, it wasn't bareback.
Yeah, so they're saddled. Okay.
And I think that was one of my biggest issues. I was like, I can't get to know this horse unless I'm bareback with this thing, unless it's nuts to back.
Wait, are you also undressed?
Let's take it easy. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Take It Easy. We're going to be making our plan for the bareback horse episode of Take It Easy. We're going to be, our plan is to both be butt-ass naked. It's going to be just like a blurred video. Horse is blurred. Our whole bodies are blurred. It's just our heads. It's going to be a lot of editing, but it's going to look good.
Yeah.
We're so excited to have you here today. And our special guest today is Tucker.
Yeah, welcome to myself. I'm here to serve you.
You had to do some calculations with your brain there to figure that one out. Welcome to myself.
Yeah, I didn't know. I didn't know you were going to say that.
Well, every week you're the special guest.
Yeah,
you're the special guest every week.
I'm the special guest. I'm the host. I'm the producer, the money guy, and I'm an editor.
You're the money guy too? What am I? You're all these things. What am I?
Creative director.
Yeah.
Arguably the most important title.
Can I also be the heartthrob?
The heartthrob.
Well, you never heard that term before?
No, I've heard it. I'm trying to decide if you've earned it.
I know, but you said it like you didn't. You've never heard it.
Heartthrob?
No, like you've got
movie
like
in the 90s.
Like
New York City.
You've got a tachycardia going on.
And it's a rom-com. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
It's in New York City.
New York City. Heartthrob in New York City. Yeah.
It's from the 90s. Real 90s.
Me in the 90s, heartthrob. Me in the 90s, colon, heartthrob in New York City.
Emma knows exactly the movie I'm talking about based on that alone. And boom, she's going to have it pop up.
No, I know what you're talking about. It's called Me in the City, New York City, or Me in the City, comma, New York City, comma, New York City Heartthrob. That's the name of the movie.
You don't live in New York City, and I don't know if you qualify to be the heartthrob. When's the last time you made somebody throb?
You really want to know?
It's been a minute, I think.
Dude, I'm making people throb left and right.
You haven't made me throb in a long time.
Really?
No.
I'm a little bit offended by that.
Well, maybe you should define throb.
I mean, I feel like throbbing is what you make of it.
That's true.
You know, it's up to their own person to throb in the way that's most conducive to their own journey, their own experience, you know?
A throb is a journey.
Yeah, because you're at one point you're not throbbing and then
the next minute you are.
Yeah, and the next minute, oh shit, I'm throbbing.
Have you been busy?
Have I been busy, dude? Yeah, I've been fucking busy. Yeah, no, I was.
Tell me your woes.
Well, we both had weekends out of town.
I did. Yeah, I've been out of town a lot.
Yeah, I feel like you're out of town more often than I'm out of town, though. I feel like I'll trek in with you, and you'll be
different
like
state every time.
Yeah, you're always in a different state. You just can't stay in the same place.
Well,
what's that about?
This week, I had a lot. Well, last week, I had a long time plan with my sister. We went to the spa, the New York City spa.
Oh, fuck.
For her birthday last fall, I got her a spa day. And this spa is not, it is deluxe. Yeah. It is, you think that the Take It Easy Members Club is deluxe?
And not here's the thing, audio listeners love you to death. Tucker's throbbing right now.
Just the thought of the spa makes me throb. My whole body just like pulses.
Are we keeping the throb spot secret? Are we keeping this throb spot secret?
I'm not going to name it. At least not for
our audience. You know, we give so much of ourselves online to these people. These people.
Well, I feel like it's a safe space there, and I don't want it corrupted by the comment section.
Yeah. Yeah, you had a problem wearing a bracelet, but you're totally okay with saying that the spa is your safe space.
Are you attaching a spa?
No, I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying that, you know, it just seems like your values are all confused because, you know, there's sets of luxury that you can indulge in.
Basically,
and I just feel like
every culture on earth that has winter enjoys the spa, except the U.S.
Don't turn this into a cultural thing, asshole.
I think you're just uncultured. I showed you a little bit of culture, and you really liked it.
What do you mean I'm uncultured? I've been there. I've been in the culture.
You were taken bareback to the spa, and you had a good time, but I had to bring you there.
We weren't fully bareback, though.
But we could have been.
Is that would that have been allowed to be bareback there?
In the men's lounge?
In the
I was there in last week, two dudes totally bareback in the hot tub.
How old were they? You're saying dudes like they're young.
Yeah, 32.
Whoa, 32 bareback.
They didn't look
32 bareback and ready to go? Ready to get on a horse?
Ready to do a lot more than get on a horse.
Ready to take a horse.
I think more like be taken.
By a horse.
Yeah, that's a thing, right?
Have you heard of Mr. Hands?
I think that sounds familiar.
Yeah, yeah, you know Mr. Hands.
But you know who doesn't? You know
who
has no idea what that is?
Ooh.
Is our lovely, lovely editor, Emma, who's watching this right now and going, what are they talking about? I don't know. I don't get the reference.
She's edited Chuckle Sandwich. I feel like she knows what Mr. Hands is.
She had never even watched SpongeBob.
Wait. What are you talking? What do you mean? What do you mean she doesn't watch SpongeBob?
We got married. We moved in together. I have the first 100 episodes on DVD like any good American child. And we watch it through because she wasn't getting any of the references. How often does somebody who's our age drop a SpongeBob reference? Like daily. You don't even know you're doing
it. About every other sentence, I'd imagine.
Yeah, you can't even help it. So she was never picking them up. She said it was actually a friction point.
I was sending SpongeBob gifts this morning.
This morning?
Because I was tired this morning. I was sending tired SpongeBob gifts this morning. I was like, I'm so tired. I was sending SpongeBob gifts.
That's kind of lame, dude. That's kind of lame. You're sending
you know the ones where SpongeBob's his arms are hanging behind his hands and he's like this and he's like
I don't think I've ever sent a gif Or I don't think I've ever told anyone that I'm so tired.
And really?
And I'm not going to judge you for it. But
wait. No.
What?
No. I detect cap, as the Gen Z say.
I don't think.
Or as the Gen A say. Cap.
What's the age cutoff for Gen Alpha? Because I have a 10-year-old sister.
She's Gen Alpha.
Yeah.
She's Gen Alpha. She probably is. What does she watch now? What do they watch at 10 years old? Coco Melon?
The other day we were together, she was watching. It has Debbie Ryan in it on Disney. Do you know okay. Debbie Ryan? What was it?
I don't know nothing about Debbie Ryan. That
Emma,
sounds like.
Put the show up right here.
What's funny about the name Debbie Ryan? Is this the name of the show or is this
no,
a person?
No, that's the actress who's the main. She was on A Suite Life on
Debbie
Deck.
Ryan is the kind of name that I guess it's okay now, but that sounds like a name that someone who's 95 would be named.
Or like a kindergarten teacher. Like, oh, Mrs. Ryan. And your mom calls her Debbie. Oh, you remember Debbie Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, Debbie Ryan, that sounds like
a friendly name.
It sounds like a golden era actress.
Yeah, it does. You're right.
8-time Oscar nominee Debbie
Jesse,
Ryan.
The show is called Jesse. It's horrible.
Well, yeah. So here's the thing.
It's not
here's
a new
thing.
Show.
You notice how the name the show isn't called Debbie.
Yeah, it's called Jesse. Which
yeah, it's called
like
Jesse,
not
Debbie.
Really much better.
They were like, "Well, what if we name it after me?" No, Debbie. We're not going to name the show after you.
Here's a question about shows with names. Disney Channel, 2005, Hannah Montana. Now, Miley Cyrus is Hannah Montana.
That's a totally normal name.
What did Hannah Montana start as a show, or did it start as like a pop star? What came first, the show or the music?
The show. Like.
Oh, really? I always thought like she went on tour or something. And they're like, fuck it, let's make a show about this.
No. This is like...
And I don't know why I thought that for all these years.
You thought that Miley Cyrus's original name was Hannah Montana?
No, I know she was Miley Cyrus, but I thought like Hannah Montana existed before the show.
You thought that Miley Cyrus had an alter ego named Hannah Montana?
Yeah, I guess I honestly did think that.
It is a little bit confusing
because then she did do Hannah Montana shows.
Well, because Miley Cyrus plays herself in the show.
It's
and then also her real full dad, Billy Ray Cyrus, is
also
on the show.
Plays himself.
But then also she's got a brother who isn't her brother
and
in real life.
Yeah.
He's a casted brother.
Yeah. And he was like in his 30s as the actor. He just looked really young.
Like I'm thinking of this man now, and the guy was like 15 in the show or something, and like thinking back I'm like that guy had
like 31.
You could tell he had like knee problems, right? Wait, how old was he when he did this show? We're speaking very boldly, and like
we are bold today.
Hannah Montana brother.
But like so that's interesting. So Hannah Montana started with the show, because I've been confused for so long about how
well,
that actually
hold
worked
on.
Out.
Her name is Miley in real life, I think, but also her name in the show was Miley Stewart.
Mm. You're right. Wait, I've got another little connected segment here. 2004, Drake and Josh.
Jason Earls was 28 years old when the Disney Channel show Hannah Montana first aired in 2006. He played Miley Cyrus's teenage brother, Jackson Stewart.
Jackson,
so,
yeah.
Miley Cyrus and Jason Earls are 15 years apart in age. So Miley Cyrus was 13 years old, and she had a 28-year-old playing her teenage
brother. That's
older
than us.
That is wild.
So another show in this era that kind of was doing the same thing was Drake and Josh, because Drake is actually named Drake, and Josh is actually named Josh. And that was confusing, too. And Drake is a musician, and he was like kind of a musician in the show. And I think he also sang the intro. So it was another like, wait, what? Is this supposed to be like a fictional representation of his life? Or is this like a separate thing altogether?
Yeah, it's funny. They changed the last names, but they don't keep the... So Drake Bell's name was Drake Parker, and Josh Peck's name was Josh Nichols.
Yeah, but it was very confusing.
Yeah.
As a kid, you were always kind of like, what's going on here? Is this
what's going on?
Is this...
I'm getting confused. I'm stressed out. Yeah. I'm screaming.
There was an episode of Drake and Josh where they had a bet where Drake wasn't allowed to eat sugar and Josh wasn't allowed to play video games, and he got the Game Sphere.
Wait, Josh wasn't allowed to eat sugar?
No, Drake couldn't eat sugar. That was the bet, and Josh couldn't play video games. It was like their two addictions. Drake's addicted to sugary snacks, or like it was junk food in general, and Josh was addicted to video games. And I remember he got a Game Sphere, which was like a GameCube knockoff, but it was so cool. I was like, damn, that looks so cool.
Yeah. That and the Pairphone?
That was iCarly. But same universe, kind of. But not actually, because... And that was another thing.
Because
Miranda Cosgrove, who in the same... It was... What's his name? The foot guy.
Well, no, her name was Megan in...
Yes.
In Drake and Josh, and then was Carly. They just could not justify her being called Miranda in either of those shows, apparently.
But she was on the Miranda show prior to Drake and Josh.
The Miranda show?
Oh, you don't know the Miranda show?
Are you sure it's not the Amanda show?
Oh, fuck. No, you're right. You're right. I was like, Ted, you idiot.
Yeah. Rough.
Yeah, no.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay. Why are we sitting? No, right. I want to sit in this for a second.
Emma, cut
no,
this
shut
out.
Up. No, don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. Yeah, we're going to sit in this. Yeah, you feel that? Yeah, that hurts. That stings. Sucks. What's that? That's like biting into a pepper that's way too hot. Stings. Yeah. Need some water?
Yeah, I'll take a sip.
Yeah, take a sip of water.
Get Diet Coke. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I'm clocking back
in. I like
in.
That.
So you have Megan, a character on iCarly, or a character on Drake and Josh, who's played by Miranda Cosgrove. Then on iCarly, you have a character played by Miranda Cosgrove. But the show is made by Dan Schneider, or he makes both of them.
Who nobody likes.
Yeah. Yeah. Bummer. Real bummer. He was a big part of my childhood. But luckily not...
Dan Schneider specifically
too
was a big
of a part of it. Well,
but like, it wasn't like you were a fan of Dan Schneider. All you did was just see his name at the beginning of the show. Like, it'd just be like, created by Dan Schneider.
Yeah, but it was like the Amanda Show, Drake and Josh, iCarly, Zoe 101. It was like... And it was all Dan Schneider. As a kid, I was like, Dan Schneider's the man. He doesn't miss. These are bangers.
Yeah, and now it's like
it's like oh. But there was a confusing element of reality interspliced between them because they had cross casts and they kind of felt like they were in the same universe, but then they wouldn't be.
Yeah,
but
I think the most confusing one, though, to be fair, is the Amanda Show with Amanda Bynes.
And then they had on iCarly, they had Jeanette McCurdy played Sam, and then he made a Sam and Cat show, which was the same universe as iCarly.
It was the same universe as iCarly and Victorious.
Yeah, Victorious was also Dan Schneider. So, it was crazy, dude. He had like a Marvel, like an MCU going on.
That's crazy that you thought that Hannah Montana was like a real...
Well, I was like, what? Because Miley Cyrus was real. And Hannah Montana started doing Hannah Montana concerts. So I was like, oh, they must have just started making a show about it because it was so big.
they must have made just like a fictional show based on this person.
And here's the thing, too. When you're like seven...
Well, when was she... here's a question. She started doing Hannah Montana when she was 13. So how long do you think she was Hannah Montana before that if she started the show when she was 13?
I was about to get into that. When you're like 7, 8, 9, 10, everyone on TV looks like you have no idea how old they are. You know, like
Like, yeah, there's barely a concept.
Like, teenagers look like they're 30 when you're that little. You're just like when you're in elementary school, like second grade, you see the sixth graders, they look like adults. So you see,
that's why it's probably so easy for them to hire a 28-year-old to play a 15-year-old, because they're like, yeah, no,
the
that
kids
tracks.
Don't notice. The kids are just like, yeah, that's just a bunch of old people. So I was like, I don't know how old Miley Cyrus is.
I mean, the biggest difference when it comes to, like, especially like older men playing high schoolers, is just the sheer amount of muscle mass that some of those guys have when they're playing a high schooler. It's like, no.
Well, I don't think the character of Jackson really had any muscle mass.
No, but I mean, like, in terms of other high school shows where they're like, there's a jock or something, the dude's got like full ass fucking lats and traps and fucking.
And it's like, oh, you just finished playing football in college. Or you're
fully on steroids. Although there were people in our high school that did steroids.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. No, but I remember it was like a thing. Like some of the guys that were doing sports, they were on like some form of steroids.
We weren't even like a sports school. What a waste.
Were we not? I don't even
know. No,
remember.
Dude, we were academic big time.
Yeah, we were pretty academic. Yeah,
yeah,
that's true.
Like, we had sports teams and they were well funded, but that was just because we were in a nice area. Our kids weren't anything special at sports, I don't think. I fucking wasn't.
No, the real sport was how many Ivy Leagues can they get accepted to? Do you know what the thing is? So the school we went to was like, there was a lot of smart people at this school. And I found out from talking to someone who was smart, because I wasn't, and I wasn't getting into anything. There was like a different society of kids who all had the grades to get into these Ivy Leagues or whatever.
Okay.
That were like, there was drama amongst them, because like one of them would get into like something like Harvard or something like that. And then like if they weren't going to go, like, people would get mad at them if they didn't like say no to the acceptance, because there was an assumption that like, oh, well, they're not going to let more than one person from our school into this school.
Oh,
or
so
whatever.
If someone said no, they might open it up to another.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and so it was like, there was like a drama in it that was like, I was fully unaware of, because, you know, I'm rocking a 2.6 GPA, you know, when I'm applying to colleges, and I'm like,
dude, yeah, you know, for our Patreon listeners, I was blissfully ignorant to that, because I was like, I didn't apply to anything. I've already enlisted.
Yeah, no, honestly, that was
easy.
Nice and easy. You didn't have to take the
I didn't take
I didn't
the
actually
ASVAB.
Ever take the.
I got almost a perfect score. Which
yeah. You took the can you do your ABCs test?
No, it's harder than that.
Can you count to 100? You did the what's the difference between addition and subtraction test.
Here's something I learned in like seventh grade, which was proportions. Like if you have like two fractions, like how to multiply them to get a percentage. It's very easy. And the ASVAB, I felt like I had a key that other people didn't. Like I was cheating because I knew how to
don't
do
even
that.
Know. That I don't even remember how to do that. What is it? You just like crisscross them or something? There's some sort of crisscross multiplication.
Well, if
thing?
You have like 75 over 100, you have it like equal to x over 100. And you do 100 times 75 divided.
Dude, actually, that's funny you say that. That I do that shit all the time.
It's a little crisscross. It's very simple.
I do that stuff consistently, actually. That's probably the one calculation that I still use from high school.
Yep. It made me get every single math question on the ASVAB felt like it was that. Which
really?
Was great, because I was like, this is so fucking easy. I've never been better at a math test in my life. But other kids in the room were like, ah! Like,
yeah, and then you did that test and we're like, okay, so we need you in charge of the rockets.
The missiles. Big difference. Rocket, you shoot, that's it. Rockets are dumb. They're like bullets.
Fire and forget.
Well, there are fire and forget missiles, but the difference is, missiles are like intelligent. Missiles think. They will course correct their flight path.
Right.
A javelin missile, like rockets are fire and forget, yeah. But like a javelin missile, everybody knows it from Call of Duty. It's fire and forget, but the missile has not forgotten anything. It is going to find its target, regardless of if it's moving.
Isn't this
the missile knows where it is? Like,
yeah, you know the missile knows. The missile knows where it is
because it knows where it isn't.
Was that a real thing?
Yes.
For those of you who don't know, it's like this ridiculous video that's like this guy with the lowest voice ever speaking in robot talk, talking about like a missile and speaking in moon runes. Like he's like, the missile knows where it is because it knows where it isn't. And like, it's like the voice of the guy from the fitness grand pacer test, but like he knows about missiles now.
It's as if he's telling you an encrypted message.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But wait, okay.
Okay, what? You got something cooking?
The original conversation was that you went away this weekend or this last weekend.
Dude, you're a smart one. Okay.
Well, you got stuck on Disney Channel. And
dude,
like,
people love Disney Channel.
Well, you were stuck in it. You were waiting around it. And I was like,
another thing about Disney Channel, Jesse, that show. Trash, dude.
No, but come back to me.
Okay, I'm back.
It was like, imagine like you and I are standing next to an Olympic sized swimming pool.
Olympic sized
swimming pool's filled with like this
dude,
muck.
We used to play water polo in high school.
It's like this knee deep muck.
I was,
and that's the Disney Channel conversation.
I was drowning,
and you
kids.
Jumped into it and you were like, walking through like this, you're going through. I'm like, Tucker, can you get out of the muck, please? We gotta be somewhere. That you're like, well, wait, let me figure this out. Let me figure this out. You gotta get out of the muck.
I got one more mucky thought.
Okay.
Jesse sucks. Like, if you're watching Jesse as an adult, like I was this weekend, you're like, fuck this shit. This is the worst thing I've ever seen. But Drake and Josh had like an episode where they dressed up as the Blues Brothers and did like an entire Blues Brothers piece, like with the music and everything. Like that was a bit for adults, you know, like they were
right.
Like my dad's in the room.
You're like
standing
a fan
by
of the
Blues TV.
Brothers though. You love the Blues
yeah,
Brothers.
Yeah, big fan. But like my dad, that comes on the TV. He's standing in the middle of the room, like frozen. He can't look away. But Jesse, that's never happening in the history of the Jesse Show. You know, nothing that's going to stop your dad.
There's some other show that, like, whenever I see advertisements for it, I kind of want to kill myself a little bit. And here's the thing. I'm sure all the people who are actors on these shows are fucking nice.
I'm sure they're great people.
I'm sure they're great people. But it's that one that's like a Disney Channel show and they're like superheroes.
Oh,
have you seen this? Have you seen this? And it's
yes.
And it looks like it was made with like a couple rubber bands and some pieces of tape, like in terms of the visuals that I'm looking at. And like, I don't know. I just like a sitcom for kids, like with the laugh track is always so strange to me, you know?
It really is a weird thing.
Because that was definitely something that was originally made for adults, and then they were like, well, what if we start giving the laugh track to the kids and tell the kids when they're supposed to laugh?
Well, I think children's sitcom is like kind of sitcoms in general are like a newer thing kind of. And then children's sitcom, like what was the first kids sitcom? Like the Amanda Show? Late stage cable show, you know? Because like the big sitcom that birthed a lot of like it birthed like the hard set rules of the genre was Seinfeld, and that was the 90s. So like
yeah,
I think
it's weird too because like does it count like so?
I feel like
lost. Amanda Show was a sketch comedy variety show.
Yeah, it was like SNL for kids.
But like Drake and Josh, those ones, they're like sitcoms. They're sitcoms, but at the same time, Malcolm in the Middle was a sitcom.
Yeah, Malcolm in the Middle is great.
But like, so what's the difference between that and like...
Malcolm has no laugh track.
There's a laugh track aspect on a built set that I'm wondering what... Is that the... That's not the sitcom, though, because it's... I don't know.
That's a traditionalist route.
I don't know. But I'm getting just pissed off thinking about this.
One more ounce is that Drake... Drake and Josh were on the Amanda Show before they were ever on Drake and Josh.
Well, yeah, we know this.
Okay, but that just makes it that much more complicated. Okay, but moving on.
But they aren't. Ted, we are moving on.
Stuck back there.
That's not lore.
Please, Ted, we've been talking about this for a long time. I started watching.
I'll kill you with a gun. I'll kill you with a gun. I'll shoot you in the fucking testicle. I'll shoot you in the earlobe. Speaking of which, Moses.
Oh, are we talking about him on the show?
15 years ago. I'll say it. 15 years ago. Does that track?
13.
12 years
sounds
old.
Sounds pretty good.
Something like that.
12.
Moses, one time when we were playing in a conservation area and we were playing airsoft in the woods, was retreating and turned around and decided to give some covering fire and shot right at me, who's on his team, and he hit me in the earlobe with a fucking
BB. Or airsoft pellet.
Airsoft BB. And I was very frustrated with that. And it was it wasn't an effective covering fire because it was friendly fire.
That defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
The most Moses thing ever is, and I'm speaking about our video game experience, is stopping to provide cover fire and then accidentally shooting you.
Yeah.
Because that
it happens in video games, it happens in real life.
That happened to you in real life before I was involved with you two, and that is the most on-brand thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
That guy.
Absolutely.
Most unreliable teammate you've ever had in your life. Always. He's honestly the most reliable because you know he's never going to pull it off.
Yeah.
Ever.
And if Moses, you're listening right now.
You're not. He's not.
Read it and weep. Read it and weep, Moses. It's just the truth, man. It's just the truth. Oh, but you. So you went. What happened? Anything crazy happened to you this weekend? Other than you watched that terrible Disney show, and really rocked your world.
Last week, I went to New York City, Manhattan. We went to the spa. Great day. But then we also went to the Natural History Museum, and we went to the New York Public Library. And we went to the Empire State Building, but not the top. We just got tacos at the bottom. And I think that's it. But
well, wait. Here's something we can talk about. Cause I didn't receive any tell of this. And I'm a little bit upset. I wasn't filled in about this. And I barely even got a review, and it really broke my heart, shattered it to pieces, honestly.
Okay. Spit it out.
And that is the fact that, well, I'm working up to that. I'm building the suspense, is that you got a delicious-looking brown butter vanilla cone.
Oh,
in New York, and you posted it on Instagram looking very cute.
Yeah, it was a candid picture.
Some are claiming a millennial post.
I saw that, and I was like...
Some are claiming... Millennial posting.
What would the Gen Z post be like? Oh, I'm having this ice cream so I don't kill myself. You know,
keep going.
I'm
having this ice cream so I don't kill myself.
Oh, I have depression, man. And I'm autistic, and I have everything. I don't know. What are the kids claiming?
Yeah, no, I like that. Yeah. I relate to that. Yeah. Sometimes I have a little bit of a neurodivergent ice cream here and then. That's what makes us Gen Z. Yeah. That's what makes me
neurodivergent. Yeah.
That's what makes me Gen Z. Maybe, you know what, Tucker? Maybe that's the difference between us. Maybe in my fashion era, all this stuff I got going on, all this hip stuff I got going on, maybe that makes me Gen Z and that makes you millennial.
Yeah. I've never been opposed to being a millennial. It doesn't
really.
I don't really participate in the generation thing. I don't really buy into it. I think it's I think it's a hoax.
It is a little bit of a hoax. It is a way
to group people so you can shit. Yeah, so you can shit on a group. Americans love, especially Americans, to group people. They like to organize them and then shit on this entire group that you just found out you were a part of.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, I forgot I'm an individual.
It's funny, too, with the millennial thing, because like I'll do something that's like so normal and my age to do, which is Gen Z. We're both Gen Z.
Okay.
Like, people who are, like, formally millennial and whatnot, they're, like, five years older than us.
Formally millennial?
Like, of the vibe of, like, a millennial, like, the behavior, like, you know, the doggos and the,
yes,
and
the
you know,
the
obsessed with Harry Potter and, you know,
yeah,
you know, was really into Iken has cheeseburger.
They were really into,
like,
Baby Yoda.
And, yes, they were very into Baby Yoda,
which
they were like,
was funny the
you know,
first time. And then that was it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like they.
And here's something I think
At one point, at least in terms of the women obsessed with American Girl dolls.
Well, hold on. I think that. People, girls our age were also obsessed with those. I think you just don't interact
really?
With a lot of girls our age.
Oh, yeah. You're
an older
brother.
I got the woman family on both sides. So,
yeah.
No, they're very much. That lasted.
Yeah, but I'll like.
I was actually. I was actually just at the New York City American Girl doll store.
Oh,
this
and that's
weekend.
Why you're defending it, because you were trying to pick something out for yourself, huh?
I was always a little bummed. I never had a doll. Sisters got one where it was mine. I was trying to get that GameCube. And
even
I couldn't
I've got a doll. Right
I
here.
Couldn't get the GameCube, and they were getting them. I have that same doll.
I have a doll right here, Grillmaster Ted, and I got the other one.
Yeah, I have
like,
too. I don't know where
it's
I.
It's like over there. Audio listeners love you to death. I'm talking about my U2s. Maybe I'll do another U2s someday. Maybe we should do a Take It Easy U2s. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah, I would do that.
I looked up millennial on my thing, and a lot of people just don't really understand what a millennial is. I feel like there's people who are getting older that are Gen Alpha.
Okay.
They're like, you know, 16-year-olds or what. I don't even know. I don't know where the Gen Alpha starts, but like.
Well, where does Gen Z end? Maybe you got to define that.
Yeah. When does Gen Z end?
2005.
How old is
that? Like 95
the oldest
to 05?
Gen Alpha is really the question. Okay, the oldest member of Generation Alpha are currently around 14 years old.
Okay,
so as they're considered to be born between 2010 and 2024, so like there might be 14-year-olds, but there's probably a good deal of like 15 to 18-year-olds. In these comments, it's calling me a millennial, and I'm like, we're in the same generation, buddy. We're in the fucking same generation, and you're saying that shit.
That's my thing. Generation is just a made-up thing. It doesn't actually exist.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
it's not even a color, or there's no, like, science. It's just a made-up sociological term.
I know. And so, like, people will just... They'll comment something on like a pretty innocuous thing that I've done, like especially okay. Sometimes I'll be doing something ironically too, which is the best time to do it for them to comment that, and they'll say, how millennial of you, Ted, or this is just what happens when you're millennial. And it's like, I'm objectively not. I'm like, we're I'm off the millennial generation by like 2 years, 2-3 years or something like that.
So yeah, I got the millennial
comments. It's just funny to see that because it's like it's more like just a synonym for just saying someone's cringe almost.
That's why it gets under your skin so bad?
Well, I know that I'm a little bit cringe. I'd be okay. Honestly, I feel like I'd be more okay with being called cringe than a millennial, you know? Because
being millennial cringe is even worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
Millennial cringe is I do know millennial cringe people. And I pity them. It's a rough existence.
Yeah, because to say something is millennial cringe is then saying that I also subscribe to all the other millennial cringe stuff I see where I'm like, oh, and I'm like, no, you can't be putting me in with those folks, you know?
They're like the millennial cringe people that I interact with. I'm not going to name names because some of them might be watching. But you know who you are. They are like so in their own head, I feel like, about how they present to the world in terms of like confidence and trying to fit in. And I don't know where that was birthed from. If it's like early Facebook days or something. Because
Wait, can you explain more what you... Sorry, I was trying to reach for something and then I knocked over my entire trash bin.
So I can explain. So like, yeah. I'll give you an example of like, let's take a Midwestern millennial, early 30s, but they've moved to New York City. So they put on this like really elaborate performative kind of persona that you see right through. Everyone just sees right through it. But okay. It's like trying to fit in with Gen Z. I think that's what millennials are. The millennial cringe is like trying to fit in with Gen Z, but it's so far removed.
Yeah.
Like Gen Z.
Yeah, because
really,
like that is true, I think. And what's funny is that like I think that's also why it's confusing when I get comments about it, because like I'm not really trying to do anything. And like I guess being millennial is like there's a trying in it. Is that what you're
saying? You try things. You try to have a cool outfit. Like you try, and there's like there has been for the last several years this like if you're trying, you're lame. Like that's what the kids feel. It's like if you're trying. It's lame.
I think it's less that I'm trying and more that I'm having fun with it. And I'm experimenting.
Well, yeah, but you experience, like, it's like you're doing something.
But like, well, here's what I think though. When you say try, mm-hmm. there's a desperation built into that where I'm like, I got it. I'm desperate to have the best outfit I can.
You're attaching that to it. You're like, you're trying out new outfits.
Mm-hmm. And I'm having a blast.
But the trying, I think, is what Gen Z makes fun of millennials for, because they like try things, maybe.
Interesting.
But Gen Z are online are so disgusted in both themselves and everyone else that it's like, okay, well, you hate everything, so it doesn't even matter. It's better to be millennial cringe and happy than to be Gen Z woke and sad.
You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of Schlatt's favorite quote.
The thing around the neck and the Catholic kids.
I mean, we could quote that if you want, but no, you ready for this one? You're gonna like this. The speech is referred to the man in the arena. Schlatt's talked about this before. It's from our favorite guy, Theodore Roosevelt.
Basically, the New York Natural History Museum is kind of like an ode to Teddy Roosevelt. There's a Teddy Roosevelt quote engraved in either all the corners inside the main lobby. And I mean, it's like 100 fucking 50 feet high. And each one is like a different part of life. It's cool. It's very cool. Wow. I really like Teddy Roosevelt.
Nice. Well, I'll read you the quote right now.
Okay, yeah.
It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end of the triumph of high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat.
That's essentially the long version of everybody's a critic, where it's like,
yeah,
everyone.
I think it's the long version of like, it's basically just saying it's better to actually try to do something than to be someone who just is pointing out all the shit that the people who are actually trying are doing wrong.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But that's,
yeah.
I think the era of the internet has made it so everyone who's trying is doing it with some eyes on them now. And now everyone is also watching other people 24/7 and are able to anonymously offer you a piece of advice.
Yeah. Do you think that, I guess people are, yeah.
The internet is such an interesting thing, because I think it is both the best, it's like the most impressive and most helpful thing humanity has ever created and potentially ever will create. Like it,
yeah,
but it's
getting,
also
it's moving towards feeling like it's the latter there of, like, you know, things might start falling apart right about now.
Yeah, but that might just be the paradox of the present.
Yeah, that is also true. It always feels like it's the worst time to ever be alive.
Yeah, and now there is so much information, like the internet through an unmanaged algorithm can just convince you of anything you want to be convinced of, kind of. Like, yeah. You can prove your own mindset through Instagram Reels. No matter what you want to believe, there's an algorithm to funnel that right to you.
Yeah, like wearing a saddle on a horse is better than going bareback.
Everybody knows bareback's better.
Everybody knows bareback's better. Getting a butt to fur, balls to back.
Balls to back.
I think balls to back is the best one.
Well, here's a funny thing that you might like that I don't know if you know, but you might know this because you're pretty knowledgeable on Marine Corpsisms. But in boot camp, especially, but it lingers throughout the whole Marine Corps. But in boot camp, you're always in line. Like, you're always in line. So they would just say, get nut to butt. Nut to butt. You are like...
Nut to
like,
butt?
Yeah, that's like
I've
the
never
official
heard nut,
term.
I've never heard nut to butt, honestly. But if they started saying... Get balls to back.
Balls to back.
Which
I like
would
that
also
more.
Probably do. I would like it more. I probably would have signed up if I heard they were saying that. You know,
but get nut to butt is what they would
it
say.
It definitely wouldn't achieve the same thing, though. It would be a bunch of people going back to back.
Back
or
to
wait.
Back?
No. You're right.
Yeah,
you're right.
You're
balls to back would also be correct.
Because when you're in line waiting for food or something, you're nut to butt with the guy in front of you.
Yeah,
you're
nut
up,
to butt.
You're up
but
in
balls
him.
To back, because it's an alliterative thing.
Yeah, but balls to... I do
There's
like the
alliteration. To
but
alliteration.
Like, we could do balls to back, but you're in height order. So, like, you're the guy in front of you and behind you is more or less the same height as you. So, you know, their balls aren't hitting your back. They're hitting your cheeks.
Yeah. You're right.
But we could pull it off.
Oh, yeah.
We could pull it off. I mean, I think we could probably a few of those pictures in the photo shoot, we pulled it off.
Well, yeah. I mean, people look at those and they're like, they're getting confused because they're like, I swear that this was the top hip two-man boy band called the BB Boys.
Have you been hearing people say hip, hip? I've heard this a couple times lately, and it's kind of irritating me.
What?
Hip, hip.
Hooray!
No, without the hooray. They just say hip, hip. And I'm like...
Well, now that's just edging.
Yeah, it's like, okay, at least if you're going to say this cheesy-ass thing...
Can you use it in a sentence?
Like, okay, well, I'll give you a scenario. We're like, let's say we're ordering takeout and the place, they're like, oh, I thought it was closed today. It's Tuesday. And someone goes, no, it's Wednesday. It's open. And then the other person goes, hip, hip. Yeah, it's jarring, isn't it? You don't, it's like, excuse me.
Is this what makes, we're going to get a bunch of comments. We're going to get a bunch of comments
if
now.
If you're saying hip, hip, you are lame. That's it.
Yeah, I mean.
That's a fact right there. I think you're lame. Well, everybody thinks you're lame. Say hip hip hooray, commit to this to the whimsy, or don't say it at all.
When did you hear this?
I've just been hearing it lately.
How many times have you heard this? More than once?
Probably four or five times. That's
four
a pattern.
Or five
times.
Same person or it's different people? There's
been a few. It's a pattern.
What? How
Some
old
of
are
our Gen Z. Younger than me, though.
Whoa. So maybe some of our maybe that was gonna say maybe that maybe our viewers are gonna be in like, man, these millennials.
If we're gonna play this generation game, I think the curse of us is that we are Gen Z, sure, but we're close to the millennial cutoff. You know, like
oh yeah, no, we're like in one of those scenes where somebody's backing up and then they back up to a cliff and then you see the rocks drop off into the ravine.
Yeah.
That's us.
I think it also, there's a huge factor that people don't always talk about is like, who did you interact with growing up? Like I was, I had two older cousins. So I was always looking up to them. I wanted to be like them. Like I was chasing their trends.
Mm-hmm.
So, and they were millennials. So that kind of made me want to be like them. So I feel like I, you know, empathize with, whereas like if I was had no older siblings at all, or no, not older siblings, older like relatives or friends, whatever, I'd probably be more Gen Z because I wouldn't have had that influence.
Yeah, let me look at this, see, find this comment. Oh, yeah. This is the top comment, actually. Well, not this is the second most top comment. Tucker, I love you and your millennial photography. This is really charming. So they're being nice.
That is, I almost replied to it. I almost pulled a Ted. I almost got sucked in. But I didn't because I'm strong. But I was like, I was going to say, this feels like kind of a backhanded compliment.
It is a backhanded compliment.
Because this is charming. Like, good job. I found whimsy in this.
Yeah. No, you know what this like, is like? This is a gateway drug. This is the
birds
same
are a gateway
sort of
drug.
What's up?
I said birds are a gateway drug.
That was my sequel. But what's funny about this comment is this is a gateway drug to like it's like when somebody calls like an old man, like an 80 something year old man, 90 year old man, like cute. And it's like,
yeah.
And it's like, no. He was in the Korean War.
He bayoneted a Chinese guy.
Yeah, like he was fucking gutting people with his rifle.
What does this have to do with me though?
Because this is your journey. This is your future. He was okay. You know, he did some salacious, horrible things over his life, and now because he wears a button up shirt and he's 95, you're like, oh, but he's so precious.
Wait, I've done salacious, terrible things?
Oh, yeah. No, you have.
Off the books.
Off the books, but we can put them on if you want.
You told me that our DMs are never going on anything.
Yeah, the amount of nudes.
No, I would never send you my nudes. I would never.
That's the public. I'm taking nudes. You'd never send me your nudes. Like I'll never send you my collection, my photo shoot.
Wait. You've never taken any? Is that what you just said?
No, honestly, it's not something that really comes up.
Well, it really comes up. You're speaking in like a present tense. You're 27. Yeah. You're telling me in the last decade it hasn't come up
even once? Yeah, it's come up.
Okay, like, all right, yeah, yeah, but like those days are more or less behind me.
But the way that you're talking about it, you're like, you've got,
well, I'm sure I could dig them up. I'm not gonna get rid of them.
Like, you're talking like you got an album, like you've got, well, do you want, like,
just
like
what
if
you
Emma's
were saying earlier, you were saying, oh, it'll be nice when you have kids in the future one day. They'll be able to go back and see this stuff and see how you were at 27 before them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same concept. I keep them because they'll be relics. They'll be like archives, you know? I can go back and take a look at what once was.
Okay.
And maybe my kids can too.
Wow.
They'll be digging through dad's hard drives.
So is this, yeah, seriously. So, yeah, it's just like, the way that you were talking about it, it was like, okay, we're going to light some candles. We're going to maybe get a silk drape. Maybe you've got like some silk draped over you. Maybe you've got a rose in your mouth.
No.
There's a concept of artistry that you're coming at me with right now that I think is intriguing.
You wish you had them, didn't you? Don't you? You're actually, now that you know that they exist, you want them. But you
no,
can't
because
have
I know because I'm creating a concept in my mind, but I know that in reality it's probably some nasty fucking Marine Corps thing. Like you're wearing you're wearing your enlisted boots, and you got like
brother,
a, got
I'm
like
not
a,
wearing anything.
Yeah, you're That's no, you the stole point. Some shit. You know you did. You stole some shit from the armory. You're
my
nude
boots
is
were
you
mine.
Wearing,
I didn't need to steal them.
Your nude is you wearing boots, socks, nothing else except a level 3 vest from the armory, and it's just like smudgy camera and just mirror selfie right there, and you're like, and you got aviators on. That's your nude.
Aviators. That phase has passed. I've actually been through 3 sunglass phases. I was in aviators in high school, and then I switched to black square frame glass, like what's it called? Like black Ray-Ban squares.
Yeah.
Now I'm on reflective blue square Ray-Ban style.
Yeah, I can see it. If people go to his Instagram, you can see him on his fish photos.
And I think those will last the longest because now that I'm past the 25 hump, things are really going to, the amount of change that I'm going through is going to slow down. So the blue lenses are here to stay. Also,
yeah, that's a thing they say. It's like after you, like by the time you're like 30, your taste in music won't change.
My taste in music hasn't changed much at all, ever.
But like you won't, like, you know how like older people, like, they're listening to like the same music they did when they were younger, like that, and they just listen to that same music for the rest of their life. That's like
you won't be finding new music as much.
Like when you get to like a certain age, like in your 20s, it just like locks in.
Yeah, well, my dad has always told me growing up that he feels like he's 25 still. And
really?
Yeah. And I really do feel like at 20, for a long time, it was like every 2 years you felt like, damn, 2 years ago I was a totally different person. But I feel like that's already dramatically slowing down for me. Like I feel like my inner monologue hasn't changed a lot recently.
Really? Oh, okay. I have so many critiques for my inner monologue.
I mean, I hate myself just like any other God-fearing individual, but I feel like it's slowing down.
Yeah, I don't fear God. I just want him to get me.
Like, understand you? Or, like, I want him to get me?
Yeah,
like,
I just want him to
me.
Figure out what I've got cooking and be like, you need an investor?
You want God to invest in you? Hasn't he already?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, no, he gave me some initial, like, he gave me a small loan of $1 million, but, like, I feel like I've got some good concepts that I could really work out and like really hone in on if I had some celestial power backing me a little bit. Like legit, like we're having conversations, we're having meetings, we're having Zoom calls, we're having Google Meets.
I'm going to put an asterisk on myself here and say like I'm actually not religious, so I'm just spitballing. I'm not I've never been to church. So, but I would say I'm still God-fearing. Just not like the Christian God. Just some God, some rules I made up in my head.
Well, we pissed off the atheists in one of our episodes. Remember that?
They're always pissed. That's the thing about atheists.
Well,
they just
no, it was funny.
Angrily.
It was like on our second episode, I was seeing a lot of comments and people were like, "You just don't fucking understand atheism." And I was like, "I feel like I am kind of one though." Like, why are we at odds right now? And they were like, you just don't get the larger idea. I was like, whoa, I didn't think that what we were saying was that significantly like
I really don't like, this is kind of a weird nitpick that's random, but what you said made me remember it. I don't enjoy when people type out the word fucking, and like someone on Twitter will reply to something and they'll be like, I don't fucking care. And I'm like, this typed out just looks so stupid.
What would you prefer? FKN?
No, it's fucking more like the swearing through like text, like in a comment section. Like, you just don't fucking get it. Like when you
let's see. Do we
just
have
like
examples of that on Take It Easy? I want to see if there's.
Oh, I'm sure somebody. Our Take It Easy list. Listeners watchers, lovers, easygoers aren't that outwardly rude yet. They'll just be more like, oh, you only have 8,000 views right now? You really fell off. And it's like, brother, we just started.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's good. But we've got the people. Well, honestly, I feel like sometimes it's appropriate. Like, Ted's shoes are fucking awesome, by the way. That sounds like a pretty appropriate usage of that. Yeah.
I think it's because I see the word fucking so much online. I feel like everybody online has to add it into their sentence. And right. It's like, this word doesn't mean anything anymore. It only means something when you use it sparingly. But everyone on the internet uses it in everything. So it's like, okay, you've killed the word. It doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
A swear word only works if it's sparingly.
Well, I think it just depends. Like, you can control it better in interpersonal conversation, though. Like, you know, if you never swear and then you bust it out,
it hits harder.
Like, when talking to people, people are like, whoa. But, like, I feel like you can't control the society like that.
Or no, I can't control them, but I can sure as fuck critique them. Yeah. Carve that into a plaque.
No, I was taken aback by the hypocrisy of it all.
Wait, I was being a hypocrite?
What did you just say?
I can't control them, but I can critique them.
That's not what you said.
What'd I say?
You said, I can't change, or you said something like, you basically said, I sure as fuck can critique them.
I haven't sworn all podcast. That you way it had emphasis.
Bitch. Jeez. All right. Whatever.
Maybe I did swear.
Yeah, well, you did swear. You did swear, and then your recollection of it, you didn't swear. You were trying to be sneaky.
I also need to grow. We all do.
Oh, okay. Is this the apology video now?
No, I pray to God I never have to make one of those.
Very religious today.
Yeah, I know. I don't.
Notably God-fearing Tucker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Notably God-fearing Tucker.
I know, it's a new chapter. Maybe I'll become religious through Take It Easy. Wow. It does seem fun a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you go to church every Sunday, you meet a lot of people, but it's more like the Bible. I think if you got rid of the Bible and you got rid of like the lore, just throw it out, I would be much more interested.
I feel like they could have such better lore too. They had real good lore in the Old Testament. They were rocking the lore in the Old Testament.
I don't know the difference between the old and the new.
Hey, dude, you got to build a boat and get all the animals on there because I'm going to fucking piss and it's going to go everywhere and nobody's going to live except for you and the boat and the animals.
That is cool. But I just feel like if you could get rid of the lore and
like,
the Bible.
That's so crazy. That's so crazy that like that the story is that he made the world and people were and he made the whole world and he was like, oh, fuck. Shit. Okay. Yeah, I got to delete it. Yeah, I got to delete it. But I spent so much time on all these animals. The animals didn't do anything wrong. Let's just get one of these guys to make a boat and just keep them there. Because, like it was such a...
So you're a real Noah's Ark guy.
Oh, yeah.
You got a real thing.
I mean, that's some crazy lore.
Yeah, it is. It is.
That's some crazy lore, I would say.
Do you believe it?
Do I believe that they put all the animals onto one boat and survived a giant flood?
Yeah, a lot of people do.
I just don't think they would have been able to find the leopards, dude.
The leopards are a little hard to find.
They're hard to find, especially you're on a safari and you can't find the leopards.
Well, we saw three different leopards.
Yeah, but like
the thing with the leopards for me when we were on safari is I never had a chance to like yearn to see the leopard. Like it happened so fast that I was like, oh,
that was your issue is that you didn't have enough leopard yearning. You were yearning
think
for
about had we seen a rhino that last day, it would have been like, oh yeah, you know, like it would have been like it's such a like incredible experience in your mind Because we've been looking and looking.
Rhino.
No, I know. But the leopard just showed up one day. It was like, oh shit, there's the leopard. I didn't, and I was still tacking. I was still writing off the easy stuff, you know? I was still like, so I was like, oh shit, a leopard, you know? Like, so I didn't have time to like get excited for the leopard, for the chip.
That's
like
the funny
hunt.
Thing about a safari, too, is that like, when you go on a safari, because of the amount of safari cars, it at a certain point after like day one and you get all the shit out of your system and you kind of process the fact you're on a safari, it really does kind of start to feel like a zoo.
I found that it was only bad when we were within like 3 miles or maybe even like 2 miles of Fig Tree Camp. Like when
when there was a big deal animal and there's like
everyone's
15
on
cars.
But I think like if there's a big deal animal spotted way out, it's not going to be like that. It's because the density of cars is so high near the camp. Yeah, so when a big deal animal is near the camp, it does get crowded. Because like if that leopard was spotted, you remember like that last morning we went way out to Tanzania.
Mm-hmm.
If we spotted something down there, like no one's coming out there for it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I hardly talked about anything on my.
If you guys want to hear Tucker's story, we're about to.
I've got some good stuff coming on this one.
Yeah. We're about to move on to the Patreon bonus episode. And if you don't know how to become a member of the Patreon bonus episode, you gotta get your ass over to the Take It Easy Members Club. That's available now. We've already got fucking 3 episodes up on there.
A big thank you to Jackson Egan, our most recent patron.
Oh, Jackson Egan.
I just got the notification. Thank you
for
your
support.
We love
what you're doing at Lumen, man. You know, you're we love
I was
going to
talk about that.
Yeah. Really?
Okay. We'll talk about Lumen on.
Have you been watching Severance?
I just started. Save
oh.
it.
Oh well, that now that's yeah. Okay, well, we're gonna talk. We'll talk then because right. I'm up to date on Severance since
I am not
here. Well, I'm not gonna spoil it for you. Don't worry.
You can get my like beginning thoughts.
Yeah. No. I love that. I love that. Well, thank you all for watching this regular, normal episode of Take It Easy, but we love you all the same. Thanks for supporting this project. We love you guys to death, and we hope you join us over at the bonus episode, Take It Easy Patreon, only $5. $5 a month to get these bonus episodes. More money if you want the extra shows.
Well, there's an episode every week. There's
episode every week.
A gaming episode every week.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Love is Blind reality recap thing. Emma's on camera. I'm on camera. It's a Ted-free zone, so it's really
chill.
It's
a Ted-free zone. If you're getting sick of my voice. If you're getting sick of my millennial energy.
It's really cool. It's really chill. And that is going to come for Love is Blind, as that show's airing, 2 per week. It's going to be a Tuesday, Friday experience.
Yeah.
But after Love is Blind, we'll reevaluate the plan.
Thanks for joining us. And we'll see you over at the Patreon. Love you guys to death. Smooches to you. And hope you enjoyed Taking It Easy.
Bye, everybody.